He did not leave after the Jeff Penner segment. He is still here. He's Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
You wanted to get here in time to have the Jeff Penner segment take. So usually you hear it when you're driving in. You wanted to be in studio. Did it live up to the hype?
Woke up early? Yes.
Is it what you wanted?
Exceeded.
All right, well. Man, do we have lots to talk about with you.
Yeah.
But
let's
just have this discussion point right here. I was just informed via Twitter from Gary Lezak that he's listening to us in Italy.
How about that?
And Nate had just the best response to that, and he looked at me and he goes, "Why?" And I will back that up. If you're in Italy, why are you listening to the Border Patrol right now? Isn't there something better to do in Italy than listen to us?
What if Gary is taking a nice walk around a park or otherwise just kind of roaming the streets
and you wanted to listen roaming to us? Roaming the streets, Italy. Man, that's the kind of wordplay that I like.
Yeah. He just wanted to listen to his little buddy, Jeff Penner.
See, I feel like when you're there, you don't enjoy Italy and the sights and sounds of everything. You're going
to... I'm just trying to...
Right, no, I get it, but I don't think so.
I don't get it.
I mean, when I'm on vacation and I'm just like in the Northland, I refuse to listen when I'm gone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hear none of it.
No.
Nate, I think Nate might be in Italy right now. I don't know what's going on over there.
I'm texting a potential guest.
Oh, there you go.
Gary is, he's committed to the show.
I don't know.
More so than me.
Jake, your thoughts on what's going on right now?
Or used to be.
What, him or Gary?
What's going on right here?
Yeah, I lost control of this. About 7:30, I lost
control. You had control of it?
Okay.
Nice. You guys are a-holes.
Your thoughts on Gary listening from Italy?
Your thoughts on Nate?
Well, I'm trying to book a guest for you, man.
Oh, thanks.
You know, that's not...
Did I ask you?
Who are you booking?
Well...
Share.
I mean...
Share with us.
I don't remember. I don't remember you asking... Or I asking you to book a guest.
I'm one of those guys. I'm such a good teammate. You don't even have to ask me, Jake, and I just take it upon myself to help you out.
Hey, bro.
What a guy.
Usually leads the good times.
What a guy, right?
Show divided.
The wheels in motion.
You don't think Gary should be listening from Italy?
I think he ought to. You know, you always point out to me when I go on vacation, sometimes I'll listen to you guys on the
vacation,
app, and you're like, man, go on vacation.
Get away.
Unplug, you know?
Like, when you're on vacation, you wake up first thing in the morning, let's see what's on the Star website.
I gotta
read everything. I mean, you...
No.
You gotta give your break.
I've taken to, deleting apps.
Right.
Ooh.
I'm, joyfully...
So you don't get notifications?
You gotta give your brain a break from this, right?
I do read the paper. I'll pay, somewhat, but it's, in a totally different way.
In a leisure way.
Because right now, this week, I'm gonna be looking at stuff what can I write about, or what's going on?
I need to think,
yeah. And if I got my feet up, and I'm not working, it's just totally different.
No, that's...
The stuff that I'll do.
Same thing with me, when I'm not, I'm always saying, okay... Should I talk about this on the show? Should I talk about that on the show?
Right.
And that's what drives my wife crazy. And she'll stop it. Stop it. We're at the movie. Stop it. We're at dinner. That's going to be funny. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm making a note to myself that I want to talk about this. Stop it. You're going to ruin everything. And so when I go on vacation, that's why I have to force myself to do it. But I shut it all because I'm not going to, hey, let me just see it. Then I'll be listening for 10 hours. Yep. Can't do it. And so, Gary, stop it.
Or call us and do the weather for us.
No.
You realize if he did that, he would give the weather for Italy.
Right.
But he wouldn't
like to hear it right now.
Yeah, right?
So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's get to it. First, we're all too familiar with the dangers of the Dominican Republic when professional athletes go back home, just driving the streets in the Dominican Republic. What happened to Yordano Ventura? And then we, of course, saw the piece on Real Sports of Brian Gumbel. That was not a unique situation. It was very tragic and terrible. And, boy, it still sucks to even talk about the death of Yordano Ventura. But it's happened more than once in the Dominican. And like we talked about with Trini, players can also be targets when they go back to the Dominican Republic. Yes, they are heroes, but for some people, they are targets. We don't know what happened. We don't know all the details. What we know is, and you tell me, one of maybe in the last 25 years, who's a more recognizable, bigger name, bigger superstar in baseball than David Ortiz, Big Poppy?
Short list.
Yeah. Right? Like, yep. You see Big Poppy, everyone knows who you're talking about, right? Around the world. And so he was shot last night in the Dominican Republic. And all we know is now somebody came up from behind him and he was in a club, shot him, ran off. The people there in the club grabbed him and beat the hell out of him. That video is on, all the videos now are online where you can see. And so David Ortiz was shot in the back through the abdomen, had surgery for like 6 hours overnight, and thankfully looks like he's going to survive. But, I mean, wow. And you got to think, and again, David Ortiz is a national hero. If that could happen to him there, could happen to any player, really anywhere, because that's just the world we live in nowadays.
Depending on the motivation of the shooter, this can go a couple different ways. The first report that I saw indicated that it was an attempted robbery, but that has not been, I don't think that's...
Now they're saying it's not. It was something. Yeah. Have you seen the surveillance video?
No.
I mean, David Ortiz is basically just sitting at a table, and a whole bunch of people are sitting at tables, and the guy just kind of runs up, shoots him, and runs off. There's never any. I mean, he shot him in the back.
Because the attempted robbery thing is, that's a real issue,
of course.
And players in Venezuela probably wear it worse than anybody. But if this is basically, that's a target, you know, just a big name, and I'm going to go get him. You wonder about, I mean, honestly, I wonder about mental illness with the guy that pulled the trigger.
It could be anything,
you know, some delusion. There's a lot of stuff, but, you know, once you get a certain status, yeah, you become a target. And that's not a Dominican thing. Tyrann Mathieu.
That's anywhere,
know,
right?
In the last few weeks. I mean, and I think that kind of stuff, not the gunshot, obviously, but... You know, there are incidents where not just athletes, but musicians or people with money, basically people with money and or fame, become targets. And it's one thing. You've heard me say this a lot. Like, I don't feel like I get surprised by a lot just because crazy stuff happens all the time. But David Ortiz, you might think, is a little bit different just because of, you know, sort of the love that he has is on a different level than most famous ball players.
That's right. You
know? And not just in the Dominican, but in Boston too. I mean, he is a beloved son almost of, you know, in Boston and in the Dominican. I heard you guys talking with Trini last hour, and she made a good point about Ortiz got that status in Boston after spending, he didn't get to the Red Sox until he was like 27, something like that. Red Sox just released him. He was a twin. And then he got there for the later part of his career and you know, earned it. I mean, he was the centerpiece of the team that ended the 86-year curse. But, you know, take that, you know, and the moment on the microphone before the Red Sox played the Royals, coincidentally,
yep.
And, you know, dropping the F-bomb that everybody thought was appropriate, you know, after the bombing, take that and multiply it times like 12. And I think that's what he is in the Dominican. That part of it surprises me. And that's probably naive. I just would have thought that David Ortiz at a club in the Dominican would be safe.
Well, look at the way that all of the people treated the guy that,
yes,
apparently did it.
Yep.
To show that's probably how those people all felt too.
Yep.
Like, hey, this is a protected guy here.
Yep.
So, I do think we have to wait, and we're drawing the conclusion that this was because of his fame or celebrity, and we don't know that. You know, we really have no idea why this happened. Like I said, there's pretty much all the possibilities are out there. So, and we should spare a moment to talk about the heroes being the medical professionals who
absolutely
probably saved his life. You know,
bullet went through through and through. The bullet went through his body and out, right?
Yeah.
And he's That's apparently out of danger, out of.
There's reports that he's had to have his gallbladder and part of his colon removed.
Yeah.
You know, as Stephen has pointed out, some of those reports that have come out that have turned back around later to be not 100% accurate, so we have to kind of be cautious about all that, but that's what the report is right now.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about how he was a former twin, right? He was also a former Mariner, and people forget that.
I don't remember that.
I forgot about that.
So he was originally with the Seattle Mariners. And then I'm reading this article, Twins GM Terry Ryan acquired David Ortiz from the Mariners for veteran third baseman Dave Hollins. Remember him? Mm-hmm. That happened in 1996. And Terry Ryan, the Twins GM at the time, said he felt he stole a top hitting prospect from the Mariners. 6 years later, Ryan released Ortiz and has never he's beaten himself up ever since. He's, we made a bad baseball decision. And so basically what they said was they had they felt like they were stacked at that position, and they were converting Justin Morneau from catcher to first base. And they said they had an outstanding defensive player at first base, Doug Minkiewicz. And so those are some of the reasons why they released David Ortiz and Boston signed him.
It is wild. I look back on this every once in a while. He hit 20 home runs for the Twins as a 26-year-old, and then they released him.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? I do remember his a couple of his years with the Twins. They would come to town, and I would talk to people in the Twins organization, and they did not like him. Like, he was not that his last year he hit the 20 home runs. Up until that point, he had been kind of a disappointment offensively as a player, and he really blew up as an offensive player once he went to Boston. You know, that
sure
was,
did.
I mean, that was, he did not, like, if he had produced in Minnesota like he did in Boston, I'm sure they never would have released him. You know?
Sure, but I just, 26 years old, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I get it, Morneau, and I can't say it with a straight face. No, I can't.
Minkiewicz.
Morneau.
Elite defender.
Yeah, I guess.
And those Twins teams were good Twins teams,
yeah.
Right?
Yep. And they didn't have room for Ortiz.
Yeah. Right, right. Let's take a break. We've got Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star in studio back after this on WHB. It was all on the table, Sam. It could have been anything, really. In that situation.
Mics are on.
Oh, yeah. I'm just telling him.
God, we segued right into this.
Jeez. That's a true story. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Stephen St. John here. Very, very excited to be doing some radio today.
Very animated. Whatever just went on in the break.
Do you care for the NBA Finals? You know, Game 5 is tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, your radio home of the NBA playoffs in Kansas City.
I like the NBA. I feel like I have a weird thing with the NBA. I adore basketball, and I really enjoy the way the NBA's played. I think it's a smart game. I think they're the best athletes in the world. I love it. 82 games is way too many.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself being more of an NBA fan, like, in theory than in practice. You know, just like in real life, it's hard for me to watch a lot of NBA.
I'm not looking to watch any regular season game.
Yeah.
Really, ever.
Yep.
Like on Christmas, usually. That's when I really tune in for a regular season game because I'm, you know, trying to just be away from
it. Yeah. The NBA is weird, though. Like, I feel like you can follow the NBA without really watching a lot of games.
Right.
The coverage is so ubiquitous. The stars are so big. I feel like you know a lot of stuff just sort of being in America.
it's the same thing every year. It's like I just kind of monitor things during the regular season. I pay attention to what's going on, read the stories. Just don't watch a whole lot of it. Then the playoffs start. I go, okay, all right. There's a little bit of the first round. Second round, oh, all right. By the time we're into the conference finals, you think I don't miss a game ever.
Yeah.
I'm like Mr. NBA demanding that Kansas City gets a franchise back. Then into the finals, I'm locked in. Like, I love it now. Mm-hmm. And like, where have I, like, I love watching Toronto play. Yeah. And I'm very excited for them to win. And so are you wanting Toronto? Do you want to see this glorious comeback, Kevin Durant to pull a Willis Reed and run on the floor and lead Golden State back from a 3-1 deficit? What would you choose?
I think my dream would be if I was David Stern and I could fix the league, I would have Toronto win in 7.
Mm.
I just want more basketball, you know? More basketball's good.
I want Toronto to win because I'm afraid if it goes any further, then Golden State's going to win it. Because, I that's, even though Kawhi's been there and Danny Green's been there and Toronto's a veteran team, Game 7 in the NBA Finals is a lot to
Durant would probably be healthier by then.
Right, all that right. Stuff, it's like the longer it goes, you know, like, hey, you got the champ on the ropes. Don't let him recover and get you into the 10th, 11th, and 12th rounds where he does his work. You know, you got him on the ropes. Let's go! And
I feel like anytime a series is 3-1,
right,
if it gets to a Game 7, the team that was down 3-1 is going to win. You know,
well, see, like it's only happened once in the NBA Finals, and it happened to Golden State, and so maybe that's a little chip on their shoulders too. Like, hey, we've been the punchline, we've been the team that, and we can erase that by coming back from a 3-1 deficit. You know, there's a lot to it. So that's what I'm saying. Kill the beast tonight.
Yeah.
But
especially you're at home.
But I want more basketball. Yeah. So I'm torn here.
Yeah. Golden State's been.
This is John Tesh giving an example of how he wrote this song. Did you know John Tesh composed this wonderful song?
But
did you know that he composed this song?
I did not.
But formerly the host of Entertainment Tonight is responsible for the NBA theme. So.
How about that
nugget you just received on the Border Patrol?
Always learn something.
Special man.
And so we're very excited on the Border Patrol because there's been a feud going on between a Kevin Durant feud between these two.
Okay.
And Nate properly, accurately, tell Sam what your stance was and what it is now. And then Jake, you have to accurately, and then we'll see what Sam says.
Well, first of all, my general stance is anti-Kevin Durant.
Right.
I don't like Kevin Durant.
There's an irrational dislike for Kevin Durant coming from
Nate. I don't like what he did. I don't like the fact that he, was in a Game 7 situation against the Golden State Warriors, lost to that team, and then
look how hard it is for him not to interrupt
jumped
him.
On board with a team that was already an NBA championship
team.
And I am telling the truth.
He hates him because he's better than LeBron James.
Wow,
now.
Yeah, that's a joke. I don't like the fact that he jumped on board with a team that had already won an NBA championship and had set the all-time NBA record for wins in a regular season. I think that, like,
but it's
to me,
okay
it would
that
be
LeBron
like
left and went to Miami.
It would be like Charles Barkley joining the Chicago Bulls to win his trophies, and I think that's weak, you know. Or Michael Jordan joining the Detroit Pistons back before he could beat the Detroit Pistons. Michael Jordan just kept going until he beat them, and so I disrespect him for that. And so I don't
I did
root
turn
for him.
My back on Karl Malone when he went to the Lakers. Yeah. I'll say that.
I did not root as much for LeBron when he went to Miami. I rooted much more heavily for LeBron when he went to Cleveland.
We need your common sense approach.
And I do think that what he did is completely different, is very different than what LeBron did going to Miami. But I did say that during the playoffs, the Warriors could still win the NBA title without Kevin Durant. And that they were showing that by making it to the finals.
Did you ever say they were better without Kevin Durant?
I said they were more fun to watch.
Yeah, more exciting
than without Kevin Durant.
More exciting.
I do enjoy watching them more without him. I will admit that they are better with him. I will admit that. But I thought they could win the title without him. And now that's not looking so much to be the case.
And I don't know why Jake likes Kevin Durant so much, but he's on board. And it's partly because he wants Nate to be proven wrong. But yeah. This goes back to your hate of LeBron.
When I saw Kevin Durant, I worked that game for CBS that he had in Allen Fieldhouse, and I that was one of the best.
You fell in love with him.
I did, and then he got hurt in the second half, and Kansas ended up winning. But
right,
like
Sam.
To watch him do like that at that point in time when I saw it, I mean, it was live in person. I was like, wow, this guy is like nothing I've ever seen before. This guy's 7 foot dropping bombs on people.
What do you say, Sam Ellinger?
Dribbling around them.
Is Nate being unreasonable with his dislike, distaste for Kevin Durant?
First of all, the coolest thing about that Allen Fieldhouse game is that was right when like Scott Drew was getting all this attention for taking his team off the floor during the pregame.
Yep.
And Kevin Durant just sat there. Rick Barnes is in the huddle like coaching his team. And Kevin Durant could not give less of a damn. Back to the huddle. Watching the video.
Right.
Unimpressed. Cool. Goes and drops. What was it, 25?
Yeah.
In the first half. That was amazing. All right. The topic at hand. I come at this a little bit differently. I have a thing about Golden State. I actually became an NBA fan with the Run TMC teams.
Yes. Like
those were my favorite.
Completely reasonable.
Oh, my God.
Mullins, Hardaway.
So I've always, you know, I definitely like got away from
Mitch
them
Richmond.
At some point, but God, I love those teams.
Yeah.
I would stay up late, Hubie Brown on the broadcast. My goodness, I love that. And so I have a bias toward liking Golden State.
Yeah.
I agree with Nate about, I don't like that Durant left. I don't like that move. I thought that was soft, but I think that people have amnesia. Like you just mentioned Barkley. Barkley did the Rockets. Right? Didn't he join? Was Olajuwon on that team, Drexler?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We went from the 76ers, went to the Suns, then he went to the Rockets.
Yeah.
Chasing us around.
But he didn't
you mentioned
jump
Karl
to the
Malone,
team that he
Gary
couldn't.
Payton, You're right. Like, it is different because that team won 73 and a title the year before that. But where are we going with this? Anti-Durant. I like Kevin Durant, but I don't like... I mean, I think he's an amazing player. I also agree with Nate about they're a much better team. They are unbeatable at full strength. Like, I mean, it's one of the best teams that we will ever see in our lifetime. But they are more fun to watch when Steph has to bomb from 40.
And they share the ball a little bit more because they don't. You don't have to run a bunch of stuff. I mean, it's a compliment in a lot of ways to Kevin Durant. You don't have to run stuff for him.
Yeah.
Get him the ball, and pretty much nobody can stop him from scoring a lot of times because he is 7 foot and he can shoot over people.
That also allows the other guys to rest, and they can get more rest, and they and then they're fresher later in the game. You know, that's the reality.
So I wish he didn't go. I wish he was still at Oklahoma City or chose. I've forgotten how the other teams that Boston wasn't Boston one of them. Anyway, I wish he would have gone somewhere else. I wish that because that Golden State thing is so beautiful, and it was like it was kind of organic.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, everybody else is pretty much drafted.
Yeah, and they fit together so well. Like Draymond Green is a perfect complement. Klay Thompson is the guy that doesn't need the ball and can score 35 points with the ball in his hands for a total of like 30 seconds. Like I just they fit together. In a beautiful way. And I think like with Durant, sometimes I feel like he doesn't know that he's either the first, second, third best player in the world. Like there's so much insecurity in him that comes out with like the the Twitter,
the
ghost accounts.
The burner accounts.
Yeah, like it just and joining them.
We're all human beings.
I do enjoy. I also enjoy the meme that comes up like every time a team wins a championship.
They show Durant like my next chapter,
right? That and then, so now the one he's sitting in front of his locker on a phone and it was like and they're imagining what he's tweeting. Yeah.
That's a shame.
Like, who thinks the Warriors can win without KD now? He's the heart and soul of that team. So I don't know what I'm rooting for though. I want the Raptors.
I think I want Toronto. Yeah.
But if Kevin Durant came back and like dropped 45 and they won the next two games,
yes.
This show would be so much fun for the next week.
Yes.
Between those two. That'd be a lot of fun.
Oh man.
I mean, I'm admitting that there's a part of me that's a little worried about that, like being a possibility.
It just seems like it's building up to that, Then he returns to practice.
Yeah, he plays in three games like, and wins the NBA
and
Finals MVP.
Because if you wanted to cement. And because it seems like he's not getting credit for being like even the NBA Finals MVP. It's like, oh yeah, you won.
Yeah.
But this is the one way he could get real credit for winning a title when they look lost without him and they're on the verge of losing. If he comes back tonight,
his worthiness can be proven.
If he comes back tonight, balls out, and they win, like tomorrow, everyone's like, KD. Yeah.
And dude, I said unbeatable. Like I don't mean that literally, but.
Close to it.
Yeah.
They were the best team in the history of the NBA, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When they had him.
They're unbelievable. They also defend. Like, we tend to just talk about them scoring. But Durant's a good defender. Klay Thompson's a great defender. Iguodala.
I think that's what you noticed most about Klay in that last game is his defense was definitely suffered from that injury.
See, and I feel like if Klay Thompson hadn't gotten hurt, they might still be able to win the title without Kevin Durant. But he did get hurt, and so... That's part of the story, and the Raptors have had some guys banged up here and there too. So
the Raptors, one thing that's really cool about the Raptors are very much, the sum is greater than the what is it? The whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah,
I love watching
that
play.
Team. And they've got. I'm not trying to say they don't have talent, but
they have a top three player in the league.
Yeah, but nobody thought he was a top three player coming into the season.
I will say this. A few years ago,
absolutely.
When we had Brian Seaman on the show, I had a big argument with him because I think he had actually voted for him above LeBron in the MVP voting. This is like 3 years ago now, back when he was with San Antonio.
Yep.
And I got a big argument with him, and he pretty much laid it out there. You don't understand how good this guy is defensively, how complete of a player he is.
Because that's the thing you don't get credit for just looking at the box score. He's an elite defender.
Yeah.
And does
shut down.
Look what he's doing in the final. He does everything.
Yeah.
He does everything.
Except for trash talk, apparently.
Right. Just, and
he does. It's like, but it's weird.
But he doesn't talk to anyone, and that's
He won't even talk to his own teammates sometimes.
It's like he doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's mad. He just doesn't want to talk to anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and just like when they were asked, like, well, hey, what would this mean to the people in Toronto if they won this title? And he's like, I don't know. You probably have to ask someone in the street what they think.
he's
not giving you nothing.
He's like, yes.
Well, like, you know, did you just, you know, finish in last place for the season, or are you on the brink of a tie? Like, I don't know.
He's not
pretty good.
He's not focused on. He doesn't get distracted by any of the nonsense.
I love it. I love watching
him warm up.
When you're trying to coach kids or teach them how to become competitors, you're trying to teach them all the time, hey, don't get caught up in the pettiness of the trash talk with the guy across from you, or don't get mad at the ref because the ref didn't give you a call. Just keep focusing on the next play and focus on executing. And I mean, he takes that to like an extreme level.
Dude is cold-blooded.
He doesn't get distracted by any of the nonsense.
There was a clip from when LeBron played the Spurs in the finals, right? When Kawhi had that great series. And I don't know whether he was out of the game because of foul trouble or out of the game because of injury or whatever else, but there's a clip of LeBron at the free throw line and Kawhi is checking and wasn't supposed to be checking back the game at that point, whatever. So he's checking back in the game and LeBron looks back over and sees him come in and he's like, are you effing kidding me? Or like, so just cusses to him. It's like, like, you know, and that's... LeBron James was disappointed that he was coming back in the game. Because I think, even if you've ever played rec league ball, it's like one guy, you don't get him off the floor. I'm tired of guarding
him.
Seriously, you look back.
I think that this is,
kidding me?
I think, somewhat relevant to Kansas City. You know, if you don't follow, there's a lot of people that are sort of vaguely aware of the NBA, and there's a stereotype about the NBA, right? They don't play defense. It's showboating. It's, you know, all this stuff. Kawhi is the
basketball.
Opposite. Yes. Kawhi is the opposite.
Dude, watch the Raptors.
Of all of that. Yeah.
But you know what? I grew up in a household that perpetuated those stereotypes on a consistent basis. I mean, the NBA sucks. They don't play any defense. All that stuff. Mm-hmm. That league, those guys are stone cold competitors.
Dude, that's why I love going up watching the Jazz.
Yeah.
The execution of the pick and roll to perfection between Stockton and Malone. If you were a basketball junkie, you should have loved watching them and should have watched Jeff Hornacek. That's what really made me fall in love with the NBA. Those Utah Jazz teams that tore my heart out in the finals. So what? Also, I want to mention, since we're talking NBA, Casey Liebrock, Kansas City Live, down at P&L has just announced on August 2nd, there will be a wonderful concert event, Shaq's Bass All-Stars, featuring Shaquille O'Neal. He will be performing as Diesel. And so now I know what both of my sons... Look at this.
I didn't know he was doing that anymore.
It says Diesel, and then with Shaq. In case you don't know, it's Shaq. But yeah, here's the deal. I don't know. My sons... And they really didn't get a chance to see him. They love him because of his commercials and because all the stuff now. So they love him. They don't know about this. This is going to be an issue in my family because they're going to demand to go. And we're talking about right around training camp time. So what do?
I own that album. I can admit
Kobe,
that.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
I don't know if this song would be.
I didn't know that.
I don't think that's
okay,
on the CD,
everybody.
Actually.
Kobe, tell me how my.
Well, that's. I mean, I'd like that song. I all right, this is one of my favorite cuts. But I, you look at this, and who's gonna go to this? And me. Me and my son, so sorry.
I love Shaq on the TNT post game.
Right, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
They love him from that. That's why they love him. This, I'm going to this. I don't know why, but I'm going to.
I'll be there with
I demand
you.
To see this.
I will be there with
we
you. Will,
I love the fact that they have to sit him at the opposite end of the table as Charles Barkley because they would actually literally throw hands probably half the time on that show.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Any thoughts on the recent series lost by the Kansas City Royals? They refused to win a series ever.
Jake runs a tight ship here, by the way.
Yeah, I do.
Is that what you call it?
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
No, it's... It is just still such a weird team. They are horrible. It's just... they're doing that thing that the bad teams are so good at, where, you know, if you score a little bit, you give up more. If you pitch a little bit, you don't hit.
How about those Royals, huh?
Yeah.
Thanks, Carl.
I went to the game yesterday. We took.
Boy,
the,
you had a glorious looking nacho helmet there. Can I ask you about that, please?
It was amazing. Although I did have the only bit of regret I had is I found out that they served that nacho but with tater tots.
Oh.
Ooh.
So what exactly was in the? Was there a meat?
Yep.
In the tell
you
us
have,
what
you
was
have
in
a choice. I believe the choice is beef, pork, chicken, or brisket. I went
all
brisket.
Good choices.
Tachos.
Good man.
Yep.
Brisket nachos.
I went brisket.
Yeah.
Little bit of coleslaw. I said no to the lettuce.
Is that a regulation helmet? Or we, okay. What are we?
Yeah, it's big. So it fits my big head.
How many people were involved in the sharing of these nachos, or were there anyone?
Solo
was there
mission.
Anyone? We're all friends here, right?
Right. Sure.
Solo mission.
It was just me.
Good for you. Now that's what I wanted to hear.
Thank you.
That's don't tell me what I want to hear, but that's the truth. That's what I wanted to hear.
Proper answer.
Did you finish?
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I ate all of the stuff.
Right.
They, you know, there were some dry chips on the bottom.
No need.
You know, yeah.
You want
I got what I came here for.
Loaded. How did you feel right afterwards?
Terrific.
What about an hour later?
Terrific.
There was never any repercussions or anything?
Me and the helmet nachos have a long, mutually beneficial relationship.
Good for
what
you.
What did you wash it down with?
Coors Banquet.
Right. See, there you go. Yeah. All correct answers.
It was great. But so I'm sitting there. First of all, we got tickets for like $25, 10 rows behind the dugout. So that's a plus.
Pretty good.
I was just kind of looking around and about like, God, this team is lost, right? They really are terrible. The shortstop is a stud. The right fielder is a really good player. The left fielder's having a good year. Hunter Dozier's having a good year. He's hurt, whatever. But like there's little bits of, you know, hey, watch that guy, you know, that sort of the 2000 and, you know, that 2004 to 2006, those Royals teams will always be the benchmark of like hopelessness to me. And without going back, I mean, that 2006 team, no offense, I love Mark Tian, but he was the player of the year on that team. Emil Brown led the 2006 Royals with like 81 RBIs. No starter. This is true. I've written this so many times that I haven't memorized. No pitcher for the 2006 Royals had more than two starts with an ERA better than 5.12.
Who is that you said, Tian, and who? Geez.
Emil Brown. Oh!
Who did that?
Emil
How did.
Did
you fall for that?
Emil did.
Yeah. You knew you were walking. You knew he was doing right.
I should know better. That's on me. But guys, that's on me.
Your guard was down. I tried. Yes. I mean,
you're welcome, Kansas City.
That's
on
me,
guys.
That's to make sure.
My fault.
Right.
But anyway, my point is, like, there's... Other than those same four or five guys that we've talked about, Brad Keller had a really good outing. Was that Friday or Saturday? They lost, but he went eight and gave up two, right?
He's been better. I mean, that's good.
You know, there's a few guys that are going to be part of the best version of the Royals' future. But anyway, because I really had this thought, I'm sitting there at the ballpark and, you know, we're going there and I'm thinking like, God, the team sucks. Why would you ever go? You know what? We had a great time. We had it's still fun to go to a baseball game. The staff at Kauffman Stadium was unbelievable. There were like five different people that went out of their way to make my kids smile. It was fun. It was a good time.
What if they were out of the helmet nachos?
That would have been a problem.
Right.
But you know what, Steven?
They weren't. That's exactly right. So what's your kid want when he goes there?
Sammy wants pizza. Yeah, I mean, he could eat pizza
good boy.
Six times a day.
Good boy.
And so no hot dog?
No, JB will eat. Mm. We went to a pool party last year, and JB was two at the time. He ate six hot dogs.
So well, that's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah.
So how old are they now?
5 and 3.
So is the attraction of the center field festivities a pull? Do you have to fight that off at all, or are they...
Yesterday. It was one of the best hot dogs I ever had.
So they wanted, hey, let's play some miniature golf. Hey, let's go to the merry-go-round, Dad. Let's go.
This is going to sound just shameless dad bragging, but it wasn't until after the stretch, and the kids hadn't said anything, but after the stretch, my wife was like, maybe we should go out there and, you know, let them run around a little bit. But they were sitting there watching the game.
So they weren't demanding that.
Yeah,
that
is, no, they were great.
Bless you.
JB just kind of like walks around and like looks at, you know, looks at people and whatever, but Sammy's like into the game. I love it.
That's impressive.
But the team stinks, guys. I mean, it's
well,
like,
I don't.
What are you basing that off of, Sam?
Jump to conclusions, man.
I mean, goodness.
Do you think they're going to be this bad all season long until they have a chance to be worse than last year as far as the record, or at some point they're going to rise to mediocrity?
I was dead ass convinced that they would be, you know, a 90 some, you know, like 70 and 92.
Because they're laying the foundation right now for something wonderfully terrible.
Yes. Each day that passes, I'm getting more and more convinced that, that they really are this bad. I bet somebody on Twitter that they would lose fewer than 104 games.
Oh,
and I thought that was the safest bet I'd ever made in my life.
Would you do that again right now?
No. No. Because I think they would have to go before yesterday. Well, now they would have to go 51 and 48, I believe is the number, to not lose 100. And I don't see this as an above 500 team. I don't know about you guys.
No.
But it's a weird thing because I do think that they are further ahead than they were a year ago. I don't know if they've made a year's worth of progress in that year, but I think that they are better set up to be a winning team in a year or two than they were a year ago.
Can I request something for the season?
Yeah, man.
Bubba Starling.
Yeah, he'll be up. I really do believe that he'll be up. Look, like I'm with everybody else. Like I'd rather have him in center field than Billy Hamilton, because I think he's a better defender than Billy Hamilton, and he's not going to hit much worse if he is. But I also understand the Royals' point of view that this is Bubba's seventh minor league season, something like that, and let's let him have more than 2 months of success. You know, he has not had one season of really good offensive production. And I think if their point is, if their point is let him have a good year, get some confidence, and then bring him up in September, which I think is the plan, that makes sense to me. I do think he'll be up. The way this is going, he'll be up sooner than that.
We're all going to go out there when Bubba makes his debut.
Yeah.
So,
you see that catch he made the other night?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I watched it 4 or 5 times. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Hit a home run that game, and I think a double.
And just like, you know, selfishly, I root for his family, having met them at the Challenger Fashion event, and what a good guy, what a good kid he is. And so, not kid anymore, but to me he is. That would easily provoke me to go out and spend the night at the K to watch Bubba Starling.
So, yeah. I just looked this up. He's hitting .344, 382 on base, .481 slug.
What are you gonna say, Nate? Come on.
My stat that's blowing my mind today is that the Royals are on pace to shatter their all-time franchise record for strikeouts in a season.
Let's go!
And they're only 15th in Major League Baseball with no strikeouts. They're like middle of the pack.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's, I mean, I'm blown away because every time I watch a game, I can't believe how often they strike out. And then I looked at the stats. I'm like, actually, they're just average at it.
They don't call it the K for nothing.
Hey-ho.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Hello.
Sam Mellinger's out of here now. Sammy, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Be right back after this on WHB.